This morning I'm going to talk about a healthy body. And Diane told me her Sunday school lesson, and it fit right in with the sermon. And the last song you guys played, Lord Reign in Me, fits right into the sermon. So I'm just excited to see what God's going to do for us as we look into His Word. You know, tucked in between 1 Corinthians 11, which is, talks about the headship, it talks about communion. Tucked in there between that and 1 Corinthians 13 is 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to look at that chapter this morning. We're going to talk about what it means to be a body and to function as God intended for us to function. So you can turn in your Bibles to that chapter. First of all, I want to talk about the human body and how the human body is an incredible body that functions at incredible high levels and how it works together. So if you would look at a runner, an athlete, and how a runner, as he trains for his run, whether it's a mile or a 5K or a marathon, and you watch that runner who's trained, whose body is working together. All systems are working together. I mean, you got anything from his facial expressions to his hand motions, to his legs, to his toes, to his fingers, to his heart, to all the organs in his body are working together to accomplish that goal. And it's a beautiful thing when you watch that. I just love to see a body working together like that. We also know what it's like for a body not to work together. And that's called disease. How a body does not function as it should. And we're all part of that. We're all part of that curse that our bodies have disease and does not function as it should. For example, in my wife's case of arthritis. Arthritis is a disease that may be caused by a virus, where the body thinks it has an infection, and so it sends all the virus-fighting properties of the body to that joint or that place to fight that infection. But guess what? It's like it never leaves. It just stays there and stays there and stays there. And then after a while, it deteriorates the joint, and you have joint damage. And it's a horrible thing to watch. Just as beautiful as a body working perfectly is beautiful, so is a body racked with disease. It's hard to watch. I've seen a church body work together in tremendous ways. I've been blessed to be a part of a church that has functioned in healthy ways and has been a tremendous blessing to me in times of my life where I needed a body around me. It's a tremendous blessing to have that kind of a body that functions well and ministers and meets needs of each other. I've been a beneficiary of that, whether it's been our small group or a leadership team or a friend. It's just amazing how when a church body or the Christian body works together, the benefits of that body. I've also been a part, or we've seen, when the church body does not function well. And some of you here today may be here today and have been a part of that kind of a body where the church did not function well and there was disease and destruction, where gifts were misused. Gifts that Jesus meant to benefit the body were misused and brought pain and destruction to the body. Where people used their gifts to elevate themselves and to put other people down. I just want to let you know this is not the way it was meant to be. It's not from the Lord. That gifts are used to encourage and to build up, not to tear down. And I hope this morning as we look at this passage that you will get a new appreciation for the body, for your place in the body, and what the body was designed to do. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the individual gifts. That could be a message in itself, but I'm not going to be talking about that this morning. And I want this message is to the believers, it's to the church, and it's not to non-believers. It's to those who have named the name of Jesus. So let's look at this chapter. I'm going to go through it slowly. I'm not going to read it all at one time. So there was a problem in the church at Corinth. People were misusing their gifts for wrong reasons. And it was having an effect on the church body. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So there was problems. And it seemed to me like there was people that were going through the motions of saying they had gifts, or they were saying they had given, they were part of the church family and were actually not. And so Paul gives them a little way to tell if they were of the Spirit of God or if they were followers of God or not. And so he begins to lay out for them what God had intended for the body to look like, because it was not looking like that. So he wants to give them a picture of what it looks like. And I hope we this morning can grasp that same picture of what the body of Christ looks like. He goes on in verse 4 through 6. It says, "There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversity of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all." All of it comes from God. God put man on this earth for his glory. And do you know what happened when Satan didn't buy into the plan of giving all glory to God? He was cast out of heaven. So it's very pertinent that we understand that we are here for God's glory, and that everything we do is for God's glory. It's for his purposes. It's just like when that person decides they're going to train for a marathon. The rest of the body, whether they want to or not, agree. Anywhere from the head to the arms to the fingers to the heart to the kidneys to the liver, they all agree, right? We're going to do this marathon. And the first morning, the organs may say, kind of painful, isn't it? But little by little, they get used to this training for a marathon. Just like that person's head dictates to the body what the body does, so Jesus, our head, dictates to us, his church, how our body is to function. It's his story. God gives us gifts and talents to be used for his story, according to his sovereignty. And he gives as he pleases, in proportions as he pleases, gifts to people, to one another, for his purposes. You know, it's not as we want sometimes, but it's according to his will, his plan, his purposes. I think we need to cement that in our minds, that it's all about him. It's about the head dictating to the body what he wants for us. Just like a person training for a marathon. The greatest commandment comes into play here: love God and love people. And I believe as we live for God's glory, we manifest God's glory, we show God to people, and we have a love for God's people as well. Verse 7 I want to focus on is key to this passage. It's right before he goes into the different gifts. And I believe it talks about what it means to be a Christian individually and what it means to be a Christian corporately. It says, "But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." I think that is the key of this passage. I'm going to be looking at four words in this verse, four phrases in this verse. It says, "To each one." So who is each one in this passage? Verse 2, it talks about the pagans who once were led away to serve dumb idols. It says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So who are the ones, who are the each ones that he's talking to? So the each ones are those who say Jesus is Lord. In other words, it's those who were once led away, but now have named the name of Jesus, have named Jesus as Lord, Lord of their life. Idols are dumb. They have no message. They have no feelings. They have no good news. They have no message. But all that has changed because of the Spirit's work in our life. And now we call Jesus Lord. It's those who were once led away, but now do not call Jesus a curse, but accept him as their Lord and follow him as Lords, as Lord. So in essence, each one refers to the Lordship of Jesus. All who come under the Lordship of Jesus. It's those who think like he thinks, who aim to feel like he feels, and to do what he pleases. And it's to those that the manifestation of the Spirit comes through, those who call Jesus Lord and live under his Lordship. Because they can't live under this, under his Lordship, except by the Spirit. So living under the Lordship of Jesus is all those who call him Lord. So the question is, do we call him Lord? Are we living under his Lordship? Or are we like those in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, it says, in that day there are those who will call, say, Lord, Lord, and will be cast away because they said, I never knew you. The difference is saying that he's Lord and practicing the Lordship of Jesus. It's those who say it and mean it and live it are those he's talking about, are the each one in verse 7. It's those who, that when I fall short, when I feel bad, when I fall short of God, I come to him for forgiveness and ask for forgiveness and mercy. And I want to trust him fully with my life. It's those who run to him with their problems, who consult him when they fail, those who call him Lord. I believe the main reason for the Holy Spirit in this life, in the work of the believer, is to make the Lordship of Jesus known through the believer. So the work of the Spirit is to make the Lordship of Jesus known through the believer. Jesus said in John 16:14, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will glorify me. The second word is the word Spirit. I just want to look briefly at this word. It talks about one Spirit. All gifts come from the one Spirit. It's not many spirits, it's not many gods. It's one Spirit. In verse 4, it says, now there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there's a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. And verse 6, there's a variety of effects, but the same God. So Paul is just clarifying it's one Spirit that gives multitude of gifts to each individual believer. And it's not many gods, as the people were accustomed to, of the many gods that they served. But it was the one Spirit. And it's his sovereignty that decides to who, to how much of the gift you will have, and which gift you will have, and when he wants to use you. It's the one Spirit that is being communicated here to build the church, to guide the church. The third word is manifestation. So to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So what does this word manifestation mean? It means that's what connects between you and God. God is manifest in your life. God is a spirit and becomes visible through you. So God, the Holy Spirit, wants to become visible through you. So he will give you a gift and allow you to use that gift to minister to whoever, whenever, that he wants you to. Manifestation also means to bring something to light. So the Spirit wants to bring himself to light through you to minister to other people. And I believe this is a supernatural work of the Spirit. It's not something we can conjure up. It's not something that we can work within ourselves to produce, but it's something that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. I believe one of the curses that comes to some of our churches is whenever we as people make it man-made, make it come from within, we try to conjure up this work and we say it's from the Spirit, but it's actually a work of our own flesh. I believe the main thing for the church is to glorify God, that the church is glorified by us as believers. And the fourth word is for the common good. So the Spirit is the gifts are giving to each believer to show God to the church for the common good of the people. And it's not for our individual boasting. It's not that we should be proud, that we should be, that it's something that we have done, but it's something that God is doing through us and manifesting through us. We're not to boast in our giftings, but it's supposed to be used for the good of the body. And if it's not used for the good of the body, what is it good for? It's probably to build up ourself. I believe part of the exciting adventure for us as believers as we live our Christian life is to discover our gift and to say, Lord, here's my gift. You can use it whenever, however, and to whomever you want. And make it available to God. See, we are part of his story. And God says today, you know, I need this gift of mercy to minister to George. And I'm going to ask you to use this gift to minister to him today. And when we make God's glory and making God known to others, manifesting his Spirit through us, when we do that, we're bringing glory to God. And that's his ultimate purpose in giving us gifts, is to make him known and to glorify him and to encourage one another. He moves on in verse 12 and 13. He talks about unity and diversity in the body, that we don't lose our identity as people, but we are united together in Christ. It's not that we lose our identity as believers, but we're coming together as one body in Christ. Now, the temptation for us is to think that in our giftings that it's either it's all about me or I'm useless. Like, what good is my gift? So I believe that's the two ditches sometimes we can fall in, that it's all about me and my gift, or my gift is not worth anything. And that leads to dysfunction in the body. Whether you're on one side or the other, it leads to dysfunction in the body. And in verse 24, it talks about let there be no schisms in the body. And I believe schisms come from whenever I think my gift's the best, and I don't want to hear from anyone else. Or whenever you think I'm useless, what good am I? What if the physical body, what if this church right here today would function like a a physical body, how healthy would the body be? Think about it with me. If this body here functioned like a physical body, how functional would our body be? So as this marathon runner's running and training, all the organs are working together. The heart's not saying, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. Pumping how many gallons a minute? And our veins are saying, I am getting tired of carrying all this blood. And our lungs are tired of carrying this oxygen. How far would that runner get? He'd never win the prize. How about us as a body here today? How are we functioning as a body? How are you functioning in your gift that God has given you? I believe Paul in verse 14 to 22 addresses the ailment of the body. So he's talking about not feeling worth anything or feeling useless. And so I want to look at that a little bit. Is the first problem he talks about is feeling useless in verses 14 to 20. And from 21 to 26, he talks about, it's all about me. So we're going to look at those two things a little bit here this morning. The first one he talks about, you know, if the hands, verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, but yet one body. So the problem here is this person thinks that because I'm not the head, I'm useless. What good am I? What good is my gift? You know, Abraham couldn't be here today. And so I could say, what good am I? I'm not Abraham. He's on the front line. He's fighting those battles. What am I? I'm just... And you fill in your blank. And that's, I believe, a trick the devil will love to play for each of us, to think that we're not important in God's kingdom, that we're not important to what God wants to do. I think Paul gives us a couple remedies. One thing I wanted to mention, that if someone is feeling like they're useless, what part am I as a member of the body in helping him to feel that way? We as members of the body have the ability to communicate that our physical body does not. Like if the physical body... If the lungs get tired, I don't think the lungs tell the heart, you know, I'm going to quit here for a little bit. He knows it, but I don't believe that it's being conveyed. And what about us as members? If someone's feeling useless, is it maybe because we need to be in touch with that member and encourage that member and encourage them to use your gift that you have to encourage and build up the body? Three things I want to point out if you're feeling useless. Number one, it's not true. Number one, it's not true. You look at this passage. You are needed. God has you there for a reason. God gifted you for a purpose. There's no way you can say your gift is not needed if you read this passage. The second thing is you fight against the idea of the body. If you say you're not needed, what's a body if it's not diversified? A body is not all noses. A body is not all hands. The body is not all ears. The body is the fact that it is the body, it doesn't mean it's diverse and there's many parts. And so you are needed. You are needed in huge ways. God gifted you in ways that he wants you to use you. And we can't say we're useless. The third thing is, it's God designed it that way. And God designed and gifted you for a reason, for a purpose. You may say, well, yes, I may be a finger, but there's three other fingers that could do what I do. Like, big deal. Well, let me tell you, I have a finger here, and I'm missing the end of my finger. And it's very valuable, this finger that's missing. You try to screw a bolt on, you try to do anything with this pointer finger, and with this missing, it's huge. When that got cut off, do you think that thing's a big deal? You know, you're not going to miss me. Yeah, right. I miss it tremendously. I believe to say that you're useless is telling God, you know what, God? I don't believe you, and I don't trust you. I don't believe that you have a plan for my gift, and I can't trust that you'll use me in whatever way you want. I believe God gifted you for a reason. He gifted you for a purpose. And let's embrace it and not fight against it. Verses 21 to 26 talks about the self-sufficiency, that I don't need you. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, thinking that you don't need anyone else. That if everyone was like me, this world would be a pretty great place, the way God gifted me. And sometimes the people with the most powerful giftings think that they don't need other people in their life. But in reality, they need other people the most. You know, the heart could say, I'm pretty important. You know, I pump all your blood. Without me, you're not going to live. And then pipes up the blood vessels. You know, if I wouldn't be here to carry what you do, what good would you be? You know, sometimes in our giftings, the people that are prophets, they tend to be movers and shakers and powerful people. But you know, if the whole world were prophets, it'd be a pretty hard place to live. Prophets need mercy people to balance them out in huge ways. So God gives prophets mercy. And in verses 21 to 26, it talks about those of being lesser in value of giftings that may not have the face time. You know, you can have the most beautiful nose or the most beautiful face and say, it's all about my face. But there's organs inside that are supporting what that face and bringing life to the body that are very important. And you can't say that other parts of the body aren't important. And Paul was just using this analogy of the body to get us to think that all giftings are important and needed for the functioning of the body. Verses 27 through 30. For some reason, Paul sets in order some of the gifts. I'm just going to touch on it briefly. It says, teachers, prophets, and apostles. For some reason, he brings them out, and then he said all other gifts as well. Just an idea. Could it be that those giftings are important to teach about Jesus, to teach others about Jesus, to set foundations in people's lives, and to help them know who Jesus is, to bring knowledge, to bring discipleship of what holy living can be? The rest of the gifts have their place and are of value. But without those giftings of setting the foundations in place, some of those other giftings aren't as important as the three mentioned there. Not that they're not important, but in order of value in bringing the gospel to the kingdom. You know, it's common for us to put value on some of the lesser gifts, the gifts that are more showy. where Jesus, I believe, put importance on these the teaching gifts, the apostles, the prophets, for a reason. In conclusion, we talked about how the physical body is to function, how the church body is to function like a physical body. And I hope you get the picture of how your body works together to accomplish the purpose of the brain, of the head, of the person. And how the church body needs to work together to accomplish and bring glory to God. To manifest, to show God to others through your giftings, to build up the body. And it's never to tear down the body. And you may say, that's right, preacher. I believe it. I agree with you. But I want to put some names to gifts. So he talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, gifts of healing, gifts of not words of knowledge. He talks about all those gifts. And we can say, grand and glorious, we agree. But let's put a name to it. Think about in context of your life. Put a name to the prophet in your life or in this church. Put a name to a teacher. Put a name to a mercy person. Put a name to a person with the words of knowledge. Put a name to those giftings. What does it look any different now? Can you work together in concert as the physical body does? Can you work with that person? Or is there a reservation there? Like, ah, man, I just can't deal with that. I just can't deal with that person. Verse 24 says, let there be no schisms. Let there be no divisions in the body. Are you willing to use your gift to build up the body? I believe God gives us a gift that when we come to conversion, he gives us a spiritual gift. And I believe there's times he gives us gifts for special purposes as well. Are you willing to allow God to use those gifts only to build up the body as God intended? You can have all these gifts. You can have one gift. You can have two gifts. You can be the nose, you can be the face, you can be the one out there leading something. But why did he put this right before 1 Corinthians 11? Why did he put the passage on gifts and how we show Jesus to people, how we manifest Jesus to people, right before 1 Corinthians 11? I don't think it's not a coincidence that he put it right before 1 Corinthians 11. You may have all these gifts and use them in the church, but if you're not delivered in, if it's not delivered in love, it's useless. You can be the best at what you do, but if it's not delivered in love, it's useless. When you operate your gift from the foundation and position of love, it changes everything. Everything changes. And I think it helps cement the way we deliver our gifts, the way we minister from our gifts, the way we care for people. I think if we minister from this 1 Corinthians 11, I think it'll put to death schisms, divisions in the body. I believe a heart aglow with the love of God, ministering and manifesting the Spirit, showing God to people, is such a better testimony than any title, any position that we can have. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 11 together. You'll put it up on the screen. I believe it puts all this gifting stuff in perspective. And I hope as we realize our gift and use our gift and have it available to God, that we think about ministering from a position of love. As we read this passage together, it makes a lot of sense now why, like verse 2, and though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. You can have the best gift, but if it's not from a position of love, it's nothing. So let's read this together with a new understanding of why God put it right after the passage of gifts. And the temptation from Satan to think that our gift is the best gift, or that our gift's the worst gift. And I wish I had the gift that someone else had. Let's read it together. And though I speak with the gifts of tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endures all things. Charity never faileth, but whenever there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we now know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And God bless us as we show God through our giftings to encourage the body.